John chapter 8. Now the scribes and the Pharisees, these are those who were the natural sons of Abraham, the natural descendants of Abraham, who had the oracles of God, who had the temple, who had the sacrifices, who were among the priesthood, who had all the traditions passed down to them and everything set up, everything in order, everything in line. And along comes this man who said he's the Son of God. And they knew, every one of them knew, that behind that curtain in the holiest of holies, there was no ark there, and they hadn't been an ark there since that temple was built. And everything they was doing was a sham and a show and a put on bunch of hypocrisy. And they wanted everything they could do to make this one, find something about the Lord Jesus Christ to where they could accuse him before the people and make him out to be a fraud. And in the minds of these men, they had found it. They thought they had found something that would put him in a big dilemma. They thought, the very best religious minds thought this. They brought this woman caught in adultery, in the very act. They bring him in and they set him in the midst where the Lord's teaching in the temple. And they say to him, verse 3, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us. Who commanded Moses? The one they're talking to. Well, hear what they said. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. Now the best they could figure out, the best they could come up with was this. If he does not stone this woman and does not command us to stone this woman, this man is against the law of God. He's not holy and he's not just. And we got him. If he says, show her mercy, if he shows her mercy, he's not just. And if he tells us to stone her, he's not merciful. And they thought they had him. Do you know how God can be just and be merciful? Do you know how God can be just, that is, exact the full penalty of His law upon a sinner, and yet show that sinner mercy and still be just? How can He exact full justice upon a person and still be merciful? And how can He be merciful and still be just? The answer is in the one to whom they're speaking. Christ Jesus, the Lord. His own Son. By Him coming and living and dying, He satisfied His own justice for everyone for whom He died. And He's just to show them mercy. In fact, His justice is demanding of it. They have to be shown mercy. Because He's just and He's right. And He'll do what's right. Well, the first thing we're going to see here is the worst kind of sin there is. And it's self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. These men appear outwardly to be concerned about the honor of God. They appear to be concerned about the law of God. And they're saying, saying it through the condemnation of this woman who's caught in the act of adultery. And they are committing the worst kind of adultery of all. You see, they're full of malice and guile and hypocrisy. Everything they're doing is actually hatred for God and hatred for man. It's the breaking of the entire law of God. It's completely, totally opposite of who God is. It is everything that is diametrically opposed to holy God, what these fellows are doing. That's why Apostle Paul had such an issue with those who came into the church at Galatia, saying it was a necessity for these brethren to keep the law, because it would result in a complete and total hatred of God and hatred of one another. They would bite and devour one another in the cutting of one another and trying to make one another a holy thing. And all the while go further and further and further and further away from God. The Lord said, "Beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees." You know, we can look at this and we can see this is absolute and total ignorance. When we look at these men walking up to, we can see here in this word, we believe this is Christ. This is God standing here talking, that these men are talking to. And we can see in this, as believers, we see the utter folly of what these men are doing. We see the utter folly of them trying to come to Him in this pretense that they're really trying to honor Him and really trying to do that which is right according to the law of God. We see how foolish and hypocrisy, how full of hypocrisy it is, don't we? He knows their heart. He knows everything about them. Well, do we see how foolish, you see how foolish it would be for a sinner to try to approach God, to try to make himself something before God, to be accepted of God by something he's done in his flesh, by something he's abstained from, or by something that he's committed himself to, and now say that he'll be accepted of God? You see the foolishness and the hypocrisy of that? God knows what these men's hearts are. He knows our heart. I tell you, if we've been given a heart of flesh, if we've been given a new heart by God, so that we know something of our sin and something of our rebellion, you know what I'm really glad of? I'm glad God knows my heart. I really am. Because He knows what He's made, and He knows what He's put there, and He knows what He's created. Even when I think I can't possibly be His, He knows. And I'm glad He knows. I'm glad He knows. I'm glad He knows. So, Peter, this is what Peter, "Wherefore, laying aside malice and guile and hypocrisy and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word." You see how opposite to a baby it is what these fellows are doing. This is just hateful. Malice, guile. "And if any man is brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault," you that are spiritual, been born of the Spirit of God, you know what you are. You know what you are. "If any of our brethren are overtaken in a fault, you at your spiritual, restore them." Well, how were we restored when Christ came to us? How are we restored continually when Christ enters in? How are the stale shelves stopped? "With the riches of His grace and His mercy and His kindness and His long-suffering and His goodness what He's done for us. That's how we restore one another. And we do it in the spirit of meekness, considering ourselves, considering what we are. Because no sooner have we started trying to correct somebody else than we're in need of correction. You know this. How many times have you, somebody's heard the truth, the gospel, heard the gospel, and somebody said, "Now you folks think you're the only ones that know the gospel. Don't judge now. Don't be cast in a stone." I've never heard anybody say that against the gospel, having heard the truth of the gospel, who was not doing exactly what they're saying. They're judging and casting a stone. That's exactly what these men were doing. In fact, if you read a few chapters over, they end up casting stone at him. That's what they're doing in their heart right here. That's self-righteousness. Paul makes a blanket statement in Romans chapter 2. Let me read this to you. Romans chapter 2. And this is so. You can bank on this. Romans chapter 1. "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things." Do the same thing. What's Paul saying? He's saying, "In my flesh dwells no good thing, and in your flesh dwells no good thing." That's so. We're on level ground in our flesh. That's sin. All right. Here's the next thing I want you to see. Let me hurry along here. Next thing. I want you to see the demands of the law of God. Verse 5. They said, "Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned." Now, Moses did command that such should be stoned. The law makes absolutely no, gives no leniency. It gives no excuse. It gives no mercy. Period. The law is without grace. The law is without mercy. The law says flatly, across the board, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." It shall die. Now, we know about earthly judges. Earthly judges can be bought. Earthly judges can be bribed. Earthly judges can be persuaded to give leniency for this or that. The best that we have is not the judgment of God. The best we have as men is not the same judgment as God. Period. God will by no means clear the guilty. At all. Now, let me show you what the law says. Romans 3. If you brethren sitting here know this. I want everybody sitting here to know this. Listen to this now. Romans 3:19. Now, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. You know who's under the law? Everybody who's still in Adam. Either in Adam or you're in Christ. Everybody that's in Christ have been in Christ from before the world began. They've been accepted in the Beloved, and He's redeemed them, and He's made them righteous, and He comes and He manifests it to them. Those of you sitting here that don't believe on Him, who yet in Adam, in your flesh, in your experience of things, you're under the law. Here's what the law says. The law says to them that are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. For all, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But now I want you to see something. Look over to Leviticus 20 and look at what the law actually says. This tells us about something about how we judge of things. How we judge of things. The Lord told him here a little later, He said, you judge after the flesh. The law is spiritual. We're carnal. Sold under sin. So we're born of the Spirit of God. We don't even hear what this law says. We think, oh, if I don't steal, and I don't commit adultery, and I go to church every Sunday, and I'll be righteous. We don't hear the law is spiritual. And the law says we're guilty. But here's how we interpret the Word of God, all the Word of God. We interpret it in a way that's going to bring, by nature, by flesh, we interpret it in a way that's going to bring God down, and it's going to bring us up. We interpret it in a way that's going to make God just good old lenient grandfather that just looked the other way and let us slide on in. This is how we interpret it right here. Look, they came and they brought this woman and they set them right in the midst. And they said, we caught this woman in the very act. And the law says such should be stoned. Is that what the law said? It did say she should be put to death. But that's not all it said. Look at Leviticus 20, verse 10. The man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall be put to death. Both of them. Both of them. Look at over at Deuteronomy 22. If a man be found lying with a woman married to a husband, even they shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman. So shalt thou put away evil from Israel. That's, evil's got to be put away, and all that's going to put away is through death. What God's law says. But both of them. If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto her husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then ye shall bring them both out unto the gate of that city, and you shall stone them with stones that they die. Both of them. The damsel, because she cried not, being in the city, and the man, because he humbled his neighbor's wife, so thou shalt put evil away from among you. They didn't bring but the woman. That's all they brought. So they weren't as smart as they thought they were, just in the bare sense of the law. Not much less knowing, but this is a lesson to us, brethren, that we can't even know the spirituality of the law. That God's looking at the heart. He said, you know, if you thought about stealing, you've stolen. If you become angry, you've committed murder. If you look, it's adultery. The law is spiritual. Now let's see the fulfillment of it. So first of all, we see here these fellows. Now, the fulfillment of the law. Now these men are religious imposters. Completely imposters. But they're saying of her, what the law of God says concerning her guilt. She was supposed to be put to death. That's what the law said. Verse 6. John 8, 6. This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, they keep wanting to know. They want the law to be enforced. The law, the law, the law, the law. He lifted up himself and said unto them, he that's without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. He didn't just say, where's the man? He went a step further. He said, every one of you sitting here is guilty. I know your heart. That's what he said. I know every one of you. You don't even have to bring the man. Let's just talk about who is here. That's what he's saying. Let's just talk about who's sitting here. Everyone here is as guilty as her, he's saying. Now watch this. And he said without He that's without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Now the scripture doesn't tell us what he wrote on the ground. And we could say what we think he wrote on the ground. It's going to be speculation at best. I'm not even going to speculate about that. I don't know what he wrote on the ground. Some say he wrote some things that had to do with the law, such as that. The law says that the one that executes the sentence has to be free from the same crime. He's got to be free from the same crime. That is, just outwardly speaking. Now, spiritually, it tells us something. Who's the only one that can really do the judging? The only one that's without sin is God. He's God. The only one without sin standing there in the midst of them was Christ himself. He's the only one that could do any judging whatsoever and be right. So that's what he says. But look now, when he says, he that's without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Verse 9 says, they were all convicted in their conscience. And they went out one by one. These men fell under a legal conviction. They knew they were bested. They knew what he said they were. And in their conscience, they became guilty. Will that make a sinner fall at Christ's feet and ask him for mercy? They went away from him. They turned around and went away from him. Try to come to God in the law. Try to make a man holy with the law. Try to constrain a man with the law. Try to work with the law in the midst of God's people. And I'll tell you what will happen every time. You'll every time bring them under a legal conviction and every time drive them right away from Christ. Right away from Christ. What does it take when we find out that we're sin and we're guilty? What does it take to bring us to Christ? It takes His mercy. It takes His forgiveness. It takes His grace. That, combined with what we are, will bring us to Him. That'll bring us to Him, not away from Him. All right? We have a beautiful... We don't know what he wrote, but we got a beautiful picture here in what he did. All right? First thing he did was he stooped down and he wrote with his finger on the ground. He took flesh. And he came down in the earth and he wrote. God is the Word. Everything that was written in the Law and the Prophets was written at the hands of men through His Spirit as He moved men to write. And everything that was written of Him. And the Word was made flesh and came down to where we were. And as it were, in every single thing He did in sinless perfection on this earth, He in flesh, with the finger of His flesh, fulfilled everything that was written. He fulfilled everything in the prophets and He fulfilled all the law of God. He said, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Think not that I've come to destroy the law of the prophets. He said, I didn't come to destroy them. He wrote them. He wrote them. And he said, not only did I write them, I came to fulfill them. I came to fulfill them. He came in human flesh and made this great stoop and wrote. He fulfilled everything that was written of him. Look at the second thing he does here. Verse 7 says, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself. You know how he drove all this woman's accusers away. You know how he silenced all this woman's accusers? He lifted up himself. He said, as Moses lifted up in the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him might have eternal life. And no man takes my life from me, he said. He said, I lay it down of myself. He lifted himself up on that cross. Wicked hands put him there. Wicked hands nailed him there. Wicked hands did everything they did to him and are inexcusable for what we did to him. But he put himself there. Everything that happened, he was doing himself. You know why he was doing it? Because the law of God has got to be fulfilled. That the woman, his bride, was an adulterer. She was guilty. And her sin had to be put away. And all the accuser, that old serpent, all he could do was say, she's guilty, she's guilty, she's guilty. But even worse than him, the justice of God, the law of God said, she's guilty, she's guilty, she's guilty. And Christ came, stooped down, and lifted himself up and silenced every one of the accusers for those for whom he died. He silenced them. He satisfied the whole law of God. He satisfied his justice. He satisfied righteousness. He fulfilled all righteousness in precept and in penalty. He willingly, just as Brother Jaime said, was made sin for his people, and he bore the wrath of God in their place, that they might be made the righteousness of God in him. So that God's justice is honored. His justice is satisfied. And it's been satisfied in a just and honorable way. So that he stands now having fulfilled the law and having bruised the serpent's head. And when the serpent tries to come to his bride and say, I caught him in the act. I caught him in the very act. He's guilty. Your law says he's guilty. The Lord says what he said of Joshua. I rebuke thee, Satan. Don't you know this is a brand plucked out of the fire? Get away from him. Get away from her. He ever liveth to make intercession for his people. Even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, even when we didn't know it, he was the one bringing the corn and the oil and the wine and setting it at our door. He was the one providing for us. He was the one doing all things for us that he might bring us to himself to behold what he's done for us. We didn't know it though, did we? We were dead. We were just like these Pharisees. We were either accusing or excusing one another, using the very word of God to do it. That's so. Whether a man knows God, whether a man has a Bible or don't have a Bible, where he's ever heard anything about truth or whether he hasn't, every man thinks he's going to be all right. And he's a little bit better than the next fellow. If he's not quite as good as he ought to be, at least he's not bad as that fella, and that ought to count for something. That don't count for anything. Well, they got to find out. They got to know it, don't they? Verse 8. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. This is the fourth thing. Divine forgiveness. He stooped down and wrote on the ground again. And they which heard, that's when they're convicted by their conscience. And they went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. You know what the Lord promises for all those he's redeemed? This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my law in their inward parts and I'll write it in their hearts. And I'll be their God and they'll be my people. And I'll forgive their iniquity, and I'll remember their sin no more. He came to where we were. He raised himself up on the cross. And through the Spirit of God, he comes to where we are. And he enters in, and he quickens by the Word. And he writes his Word in the inward parts. And he says, I fulfilled it all. Your sin and your iniquity, I remember no more. He said unto this woman, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Have no man condemned thee? Verse 11, she said, No man, Lord. Forgiveness won't make us depart from Him under legal conviction. Forgiveness will make us own Him as our Lord. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Well, you can't tell somebody that. That'll make them just want to sin all they want to. Don't you sin all you want to? I sin way more than I want to. I don't want to sin as much as I do sin. You know what makes me not want to? He says, no man can condemn you, and neither do I condemn you. And He says, now go and sin no more. And you know what that makes me want to do? That makes me want to go and sin no more. That's exactly right. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. To them who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, through my flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin hath condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of God might be fulfilled in us who aren't any longer walking after the law or after our flesh, after the enmity of our mind, trying to bring ourselves up to God so fat and full and sassy that our buttons are about to pop. Now we're just sinners who've been saved by His mercy, and we want to go and sin no more. That's what grace does. Law don't do that. Legal binding and yoke don't do that. Forgiveness does. David, thou art the man. But the Lord's forgiven you. Oh, Lord, blot out my transgression. Forgive me. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I've sinned against You and You only. You know what did that? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. So, what do we say about that? Well, some of you are going to go away from here this morning, maybe a little bit under legal conviction, that you're going to go away like the Pharisees did, self-righteous and thinking, well, I don't need Him. But some of you are going to see yourself in this adulterous woman and know that in yourself and in myself, we're entirely guilty. But for His great love's sake, for His holy glory, He said, no man can condemn you, and I don't condemn you, because my Son bore the condemnation for you. And you're going to go from here saying, oh, I don't want to sin anymore. I don't want to sin anymore. I have forgiveness with God. How could I sin against a God like that? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if He's forgiven you all your sin, if you truly believe Him, go and sin no more. Amen.